I'm Anique C, and I'm going to be reading an excerpt from one of the short stories in my collection called Postcard. The short story is called Kingwell, and it's a fictionalized account of a woman who is the neighbor of Mark Kingwell, the U of T philosopher, and she becomes a bit obsessed with him after she reads one of his books. Last night I had my fifth Mark Kingwell dream. I had my first one about a year ago, the next one about 6 months later, and the others in rapid succession. Last night he was interrogating me, not in the capacity of a professor-student role, but more like we'd had a discussion as friends, and I had played the devil's advocate a little too inadequately for his taste. Which is weird, because Kingwell's not my friend. I don't even know him. I don't remember all of the dream, just that I was suddenly aware, as though outside of myself looking in, that I was dreaming about him, and then suddenly I was inside myself again, looking at him while he was deep into his diatribe of the hermeneutic circle of authenticity or something. I do remember this, though. The whole thing ended with him suddenly kissing me. Yeah, I kissed him back. So I'm in love with him. Does that matter? You don't know who I am. It would be easy for you to say, you're not in love with him, you're in love with his brain, his image, his media punditry, but you don't know that I was his neighbor once, for about a year and a half, and that I happened to be reading his treatise on happiness while I was falling out of love with one person and in love with another. No, not him. So that changes everything, doesn't it? Good. To clarify, I am no longer his neighbor, and am no longer in love with the person I was falling in love with when I was reading that treatise on happiness. To clarify even further, I am no longer living in the same city as Mark Kingwell. In fact, I now live in a place that has no hope of ever harboring someone like him, though it has other, more aesthetically pleasing qualities. I live in the foothills of the Rockies, just outside of Calgary. From my cabin, I stare at snow-covered peaks all day, listen to the Elbow River run below a quiet highway, and worry about things like cougar tracks, and how much wood I'll have to chop before the storm they're calling for hits. And books. Where to get books out here? I read fiction and philosophy, mostly. Here, in this place, I am a less intense, if she's intense at all, version of Annie Dillard. I like her, too, though I've never had a dream about her in which she kisses me. I like it out here, but I miss Toronto sometimes. Not so much the city itself. Out here, I have to apologize for being from there, and really have to work at punching through a presumption of elitism or frivolous, unconscious demand that Torontonians seem to admit. But its specific intellectual nature, which seems to be prized only by excessively self-conscious Torontonians. I'm a book designer, freelance, which means that even in Toronto I was able to work at home, and that my moving out here did not so much disrupt the amount of work I had as it did my visibility in the publishing scene. And Toronto is a city where visibility is paramount, which is mostly why I left. To try my hand at hiding for a while, to see how it fit. In any case, I miss it sometimes, and that's probably why I had that dream about Kingwell last night. I've been out here for about 6 months now, and lately I've been feeling a bit out of the loop, as Torontonians are prone to do when away from Toronto for any length of time. I spent the winter in my cabin, in all this silence, reading and absorbing other people's great ideas, notions, transcendences above the norm, in books brought from Toronto. And there's no one to talk about them with. Except Bob, the older guy who owns the hardware store in town, 10 clicks down the river. He once ran away with a young, nubile European thing and understands thinking of the non-cookie-cutter kind. But even he thinks I'm a little crazy. He asked me once, while we were having coffee in the back of his store, what I thought about going out for dinner, and I went off on some tirade about it being a way to merely apply a template of romance to one's life, about how dinner in a movie was really what a friend of mine calls indiscriminate rigmarole, and how could those things possibly express a level of interest in someone that was superior to any other person you'd engaged in those very same activities with? And what did any of it signify? He finished his coffee in silence, and it was only on my way back home that I realized that he'd asked me out on a date, and that I needed to get out and talk to people more.